Amen. All right. Well, with it again being Vacation Bible School this week, my time got away from me. I wasn't able to spend as much time as I would have liked on the message. And so to do 1 Peter justice, I'm pausing that study. And I had a psalm that I'd been looking at for a while, and the Lord had given me a message out of it. And I thought now would be an appropriate time to bring that. And so take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 75. Psalm 75. And we're only going to look at one verse tonight. We're just going to be looking at the first verse because, well, to be honest, if we looked at the whole thing, we would be here a lot longer than maybe 30 minutes. And I know I don't have any history of being long-winded or anything like that. I'm pretty sure the response I usually get is, "Pastor, keep preaching." But I got to let you go sometimes. We're just going to look at one verse tonight. And in this verse, I want to point out a couple of very important reasons as to why we should be thankful and praise God. I mean, so with that said, go ahead and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we're just going to read verse 1 of Psalm 55. You know, let's do something a little different tonight. How about you all read it with me? It's only one verse. I think you can handle it. I don't think I'm asking too much. So Psalm 75, verse 1. If you're there, let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
All right, sounds like we're all there. So go ahead and start reading with me in verse number 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Amen. Well, may God bless the reading of His Word as you're seated. We'll get to the message here. I'm calling the message tonight, by the way, Two Timeless Reasons to Praise the Lord. Two timeless reasons to praise the Lord. And to be honest, there are a whole lot more than just two. There really are, but we're just going to focus and consider these here, seeing as they're in our text. So the reason they're timeless reasons to praise the Lord is because God is timeless. God is not relegated to the past. He is not only important then and no longer now, or there'll never be a time when God no longer matters. God exists outside of time and therefore is timeless and therefore should be praised all of the time. And when you look at and consider what all was going on and happening in the time when this psalm was written, it's quite clear that it was during a time in Israel's history when things were going relatively well, and they were walking close to God. King David, he's sitting on the throne at this time, and we all know that David, though he did have his mistakes, he was a godly man. He was a godly king. He led the people of the nation of Israel in the worship of God and service of Him. And so with this being the case, though, of the text, could this text just be a product of the times? I mean, could David have just written this because things were good and therefore, hey, let's praise the Lord, times are good? Or is it true regardless of life situation? It's easy to praise God and be thankful during times of blessing. Anybody can do that. But what about when times aren't so great? Do you find it hard to genuinely bless and praise God when you are going through one of the hardest times of your life? You know, Brother Perry, I hate to pick on you right now, but seeing as it's timely, the passing of your son was a very dark time for you, very hard. But could Brother Perry still legitimately, authentically, from his heart, praise the Lord and be thankful? That possibility's there. And I imagine he did, if I know Brother Perry. But what about for us? What about for you? We all go through life and have some hard circumstances. Can we praise God and be thankful during the times of hardship? You see, it wouldn't be long in our text before David's grandson, Rehoboam, would split the kingdom of Israel into two nations, with Israel to the north and Judah to the south. Now, as we have gone through our times, going through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights, while Judah would have its share of good kings from time to time who did try to live for the Lord, The same could not be said for Israel. They did not have a single good king. Every single one of them was wicked. So could God be praised in a time when a nation has fallen into apostasy? Could they still praise God? Could God be praised when a Jeroboam or an Ahab and a Jezebel are ruling? Can God still be praised when, as a nation, our own country is running away from God as fast as our political legs can take us? Can we still praise God? And that's what I believe the answer is, a resounding yes. Absolutely. Otherwise, this text would not be true. God should be praised, even in the time of apostasy, because it is not our situation, it is not our feelings that dictate when God should be praised. We don't get to determine when God should be praised. Because God is who He is, He ought to be praised 24/7, 365 or 366 on a leap year. It's the fact that God is who He is that we should be praising Him and giving thanks. Charles Spurgeon said, "For infinite goodness, there should be measureless thanks." I thought that was a really neat quote. God is infinitely good. And therefore, for His infinite goodness, we should try to offer measureless thanks. And so our text tonight, it lists two timeless reasons as to why we should give thanks to God. Number one, you should give thanks to God because He is with you. Give thanks to God because He is with you. The first reason our text mentions we should thank God is that His name is near. Now, I got to thinking, what is it that a name represents? What does a name represent? It represents a person, does it not? When I say a name, you immediately think of that person. If you follow sports, or maybe you play fantasy football or things like that, you're going to be paying attention to the roster to see if your player is listed as playing in the game. I remember all the way back in high school when I actually used to care about sports, I played a season of fantasy football, and I went and I found all my players. I tried to get all the best ranked ones on my team. And then I would, each week, I'd be checking the game to see who was playing, and that way I could make sure I put the right person in my spot and try to get the most points possible. Because it was very frustrating when you put a player in or you forgot to change a player out and he didn't play that week. You got 0 points, and that hurt your standings. And so you're going to be paying attention to that kind of thing. That player's name represents who he is. But what about another name? I like this one. Start thinking of Thanksgiving dinner, all right? Thanksgiving dinner, this is the perfect one to think about. I'm sure one of the biggest questions on people's mind come Thanksgiving dinner time is, who is cooking the meal? Who is cooking the meal? If it's Jimmy or Susie, that's one thing. But if it's Grandma, oh boy. All right, I'm looking forward to that. Why is there a difference between those names? Why does it matter who's cooking the meal? Because it is Grandma's reputation for making the best Thanksgiving dinner that you have ever eaten is why you care. You know how Grandma cooks her food, and you're going to look forward to that. My wife cooks some dishes. Ooh, boy, I look forward to. She only makes them twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so the only reason I look forward to those holidays is because I get those dishes. They are good. I love them. Jimmy or Susie, they could probably do a fine job. I'm not trying to knock Jimmy and Susie. We're always picking on Jimmy and Susie. They're nice people. I'm sure they could do a fine job cooking Thanksgiving meal. But Grandma has proven her talent, her skills in the kitchen. I'm getting some amens out there in the lobby. Her name carries weight when it comes to the cooking. The nearness of God is seen in His names. The name of God carries weight with it. Aren't you glad God is near? Aren't you glad you don't have to go searching far and wide to find God? He is near. Aren't you glad that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how far you may have wandered into sin, that God is still near? And this got me thinking about the names of God. Now, this isn't an all-exclusive list, but this is just a handful. Okay, more than a handful. Let me just go. Elohim, the strong one. Aren't you glad that in times when you are defeated and feeling weak, you have the strong one with you? Elohim, El Shaddai, the one who blesses your life, the Almighty God. Aren't you glad that in times when you need to experience the blessings of God in your life, the one who blesses is with you? That's El Shaddai. Oh, what about Jehovah or Yahweh? How about the times when you're not even sure if you're present in the moment? Aren't you glad that you have the self-existent one nearby? How about El Elyon? When you're feeling low, aren't you glad that the Most High is near? How about those times when you're not sure where the money is going to come from to pay that bill? There's more month than money. And the creditors, they're calling. And whatever the situation may be, aren't you glad that Jehovah Jireh is near, the one who provides? In fact, there's a plaque on the wall right there on your way out from Jehovah Jireh, a ministry that helped make this building that you're sitting in a possibility. The Lord provides. Then, of course, you've got Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord who restores. So in that time you were sick, weren't you glad that Jehovah Rapha was near? Jehovah Nissi, this is one of my favorites. Jehovah Nissi, when you were facing a battle or an enemy was coming against you, were you not glad for Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, being near? Jehovah Rophi, meaning the Lord, my shepherd, he leads, he guides, he protects. Jehovah Shalom, when Gideon was introduced to the Lord for the very first time, in a time when there was no peace, God introduced himself to Gideon to show him that God was his source of peace. And aren't you glad, in times when you feel overwhelmed, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is near, the Lord of an army of angels? Again, we could keep going, but the point, I hope, is pretty clear. We should be thankful to God and praising Him, for His name is near. So let me encourage you tonight that you can be thankful because God is present in your life. Now, if you're not saved, you need God in your life. You need God, but if you are saved here tonight, you can give thanks because God is near and He is involved in your life. So not only should you give thanks because God is with you, but the second timeless reason you should give thanks to God is this. You should give thanks to God because of His wondrous works. Of His wondrous works. You know, the wondrous works of God, they declare something about Him. They speak to who He is and what He's capable of. They declare that He has been there. When you go out on a hike and you come across a clearing, and in it you can see the remains of a small campfire, you know that someone else has been there because it is evidenced by the remains of a campfire. You're not going to stumble upon and be like, wow, I must be the first person here. Well, no, there's a campfire there. Of course, someone else has been there before you. There are some mountains that when you can climb up there at the summit, they have a logbook up there. You can actually write your name in the logbook to prove that you had been there at the summit, that you made it to the top. When you take an honest look at your life, as well as just nature around you, it cannot help but declare that God has been there. I can think of many situations in my own life to where I look back and see, God was in that situation. God protected me in that situation. God provided for me in this situation. And I imagine all of us could probably can go back to times in our lives where we have seen God at work in our life. Those are all times when God has basically put his handprint on you, saying, I am in your life. I have been there. You are my child. You belong to me. It was evident, or let me back up. God is at work even when times are dark. It was evident that God was present during the days of David, when Goliath being defeated as David, he rose to the throne. It was evident God was working. What teenage boy could take down a 9-foot-tall giant with a slingshot? It just doesn't even make sense. Only God could bring that about. But what about Elisha? His time was a stark contrast to David's. Wicked King Ahab was ruling, and the people of Israel, they were wholly given over to idolatry, to Baal worship. But when you look at Elisha's life and the miracles he did, you also can't help but admit that not only was God present, he was working mightily. Now, I think about Elisha's request to Elijah. There, when they're about to pass the mantle, Elisha asked Elijah to give him a double portion of his spirit. And Elijah said, son, you ask a hard thing. That's the paraphrase version. You ask a hard thing, but nevertheless, if it's to be so, you'll get to witness me be taken up into heaven. If you don't get to witness that, well then, there's your answer. You're not going to get the double portion. And so, when Elijah, he was taken up into heaven in that chariot of fire, Elisha was there to see it. Elijah's mantle fell down to the ground, and Elisha picked it up. And then he walked back over to the Jordan River where they had just crossed. Now, I should back up and say this. Before they crossed it, Elijah took that mantle, smote the ground, parted the waters, and they walked over. So now Elisha is holding the mantle. He approaches the Jordan River there, and he says this, where is the God of Elijah? And he smites the ground with the mantle, and the water parts. Can I tell you this? The next generation needs to know that God is still present. They need to know that. Oh, you can just walk out the doors and you can meet people who've never heard the name of Jesus. Outside of a curse word, they don't even know where it's coming from. They've never heard a Bible. They don't even know what that is. And that's in the United States. The next generation needs to know about God and that he is still present and still working. They need to know that God is still at work today, just as he was all the way back in the days of David. And so, with that question, again, Elijah, he takes the mantle, he smacks the bank of the river, it parts, allowing him to cross on dry ground. And if you let him, if you let God, he can show you that he is still at work. It takes faith. If you go back even further to when Elijah was still on the scene, he was dealing with the exact same apostasy that Elisha was dealing with. There at the top of Mount Carmel, where Elijah and the 400 prophets of Baal, they had a great showdown to see who the one true God actually was. Fun story. I'm not going to get into much tonight. But after their failed attempt, Elijah, he rebukes the people and basically pinned them to the wall with this question. How long will ye halt between two opinions? Either serve God or serve Baal. And then, as if to make such a bold statement and just kind of mic drop and walk away, he says a short prayer to God, whoosh, fire falls down from heaven, consumes the altar, the water, and everything around it. It was as if God had said, I am, and I still am. God is still at work. even in the midst of apostasy. You look at our nation today, it's in a horrible state, spiritually speaking. It kind of feels like sometimes that God's abandoned us, that He's not working anymore. Well, maybe it looks that way because His people aren't living by faith. They don't believe God is still at work. God is still at work. Never forget that. Pass that on to the next person. Pass that on to your kids. Instill that in them, that God is still at work. I know what it looks like outside. I know what's going on out there. I know it doesn't look like God's doing anything, but believe it or not, God is still at work. He has a plan. He's going to accomplish it, and you need to be working and living your life in accordance with God's plan for it. So you can be thankful because not only is God with you, but He is still at work in your life. God's not through with you yet. Have you taken the time to count all the ways God has blessed you? Have you ever tried that? I know it's kind of a trick question because you'll never run out of ways. But the point is this. If you choose to notice God at work in your life, you'll never run out of reasons to be thankful. Simply that. How can you thank God when life seems like it's just down the toilet? Start counting your blessings. Lord, thank you that I woke up today. Lord, thank you that I have food in my refrigerator. Lord, thank you I have gas in the car. Lord, thank you I have a job. Lord, thank you I have family. Lord, thank you, and just go on. Start thanking God for all the things that you have and He has blessed you with, and you'll quickly realize you have a lot of things to be thankful for, and that'll help turn a sour mood right side up. If you're not a thankful person, well, then I just pity you. I feel sorry for you because you are missing out on the joy of the Lord. If you find yourself not being thankful, it's not because God is not with you or that He's not working in your life. It's just that you haven't bothered to take the time to notice. God loves you more than anything else in this world. How do I know that? Because He proved it. God proved how much He loved you because He gave up everything in order to make a relationship with Him possible. He didn't have to do that. But His love for you and His love for me compelled God to sacrifice Himself for our sins. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, now is the time to get that settled. Don't keep putting it off. Don't keep waiting until tomorrow or next Sunday or next month. Don't keep kicking that can down the road. Get it settled. Stop wasting time. We don't have much left. Never forget these two timeless reasons to praise the Lord. Remember, number one, that He is always near. And number two, that He is still at work in your life. I'd like to ask our musicians to come at this time, and we'll have a time of invitation. Like I mentioned earlier, it can be easy to forget God's still at work. It can be easy to stop praising God and thanking Him. But you need to remember who God is. Our situation doesn't get to dictate when we should praise God. God doesn't stop being God when we're having a bad day. We need to remember who God is. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He created us. He is our maker. And we should be so thankful for Him and to Him. And so as the music begins to play this evening, I want to encourage you, if you have a need, as we all stand to our feet for a time of invitation, maybe if even it's just to come and thank God for being who He is and in your life, I want to encourage you to come forward and pray at the altar this evening and just give God the glory. So if you have a need, won't you come?